I'm David Brown, and no matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time on this September 8th, the date of the worst natural disaster in U.S. history. The year was 1900, the place Galveston, a hurricane that devastated the island city, leaving 8,000 dead, 3,600 buildings destroyed. People had to be buried en masse at sea or burned in the street with debris. The city's rise from ruin is described as its finest hour as the city rebuilt, building a protective wall in place that remains a fixture even today. Many years later, Galveston, Texas, would actually become a refuge of sorts for a woman fleeing another disaster, this one far from natural. Her name is Margaret Mathers, and on September 11th, 2001, she was living in New Jersey, outside of New York. Her husband, Charles, was on his way to the World Trade Center.
He kissed me goodbye, said, "I'll see you tonight. It's going to be a wonderful day. We are going to have a meeting at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to go up to the 100th floor. I had a dentist appointment at 9 o'clock, and so I did not turn the TV on, and I came into the kitchen when the phone rang, and it was a neighbor screaming, "Turn on your television." And I said, "I can't. I have a dentist appointment." And she said, "Plane hit the tower. Please turn your TV on. I'll be right over." And I did, and my life changed. All our lives changed at that moment. I was looking at the TV and counting floors and hoping that he was below the impact. And the second tower was hit, and I screamed, "We're at war. Somebody is at war with us, and I don't know who it is."
Margaret Mathers didn't know what had become of her husband. But after a couple of weeks, they found his remains. That didn't bring the sense of closure she and others hoped, nor would the memorial services that would follow, the ceremonies honoring the victims, the wars that would be fought in retribution. Today, she's on Capitol Hill, going from one office to the next, urging U.S. lawmakers to let her do the one thing she hopes will make things right, or as right as they can be. She, along with the families of other victims, want to be able to sue the countries that funded terrorism, the terrorism that killed Americans on U.S. soil.
I want the name of a person who paid the hijackers. I don't know who they are, and I want justice. My husband was 61 when he was killed. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to, I'm 75, we were supposed to have a wonderful retirement. And that's all I'm doing for this, which is why I come down to Washington.
Mathers and a group of families are pressing the U.S. House of Representatives to pass JASTA, the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. John Cornyn of Texas helped push the bill through the Senate, where it's already won approval. And with the 15th anniversary of 9/11 just days away, the House now under pressure to follow suit. But the Obama administration has promised a veto. That's something that Mathers says she can't understand. She's not looking for money, she says. She wants accountability.
I want somebody to be tried and convicted and executed. And I want to be there at the execution. Even though I've been given advice from quite a few people saying, "You don't want to do that, Marge." But I'm afraid I do.
So what happens next? For that, we turn to Rachel Bade, who's a reporter with Politico. She joins us now from Capitol Hill. Thanks for being on The Standard.
Thanks for having me on the air.
Has the House actually announced when they might vote on this JASTA bill?
So sources, Republican sources in the House tell us that they are likely to vote on this JASTA bill on Friday. And this comes about 4 months after the Senate passed this provision, which basically would allow the families of the victims of 9/11 to sue Saudi Arabia for damages. It has been held up. This goes against current law, international law, which bars families from suing another country. And the reason why it hasn't gone anywhere over the past 15 years is because diplomats worry that this could hurt foreign policy with Saudi Arabia, which is obviously a key ally of the United States. But it's also twofold. They worry that other countries and civilians and other nations might actually sue the United States on other things in the future. So this pressure has been building all week right up to the anniversary, 15th anniversary of 9/11.
President Obama has promised to veto it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. in so many words. Basically, one of his top communications press secretaries has said, you know, he can't imagine the president ever signing something like this. They put out a statement yesterday saying they're worried about this and what this might do for international relations and international law going forward. So we do expect that he will veto this once it gets to his desk. The question then becomes, does Congress, you know, go and try to override the veto? Because
mm-hmm.
they do, it does look like they would have the votes to do that and to override him and get this passed.
You know, we heard a little earlier today from a 9/11 widow who has been an advocate for this legislation, and she says she's met with members of the House Judiciary Committee. Those who oppose this bill, what would they say to these family members when they tell us all they want is accountability and answers and justice? That's a very compelling argument when you hear it straight from them.
Absolutely it is. And I think that that's why we don't hear a lot of opposition publicly. Privately, we do hear that some senior House Republicans are a little worried about this. You know, they say they're concerned that people in other countries will try to sue the U.S. for war crimes or something of that nature. And then you have it's basically they're looking out for future conflicts that could arise from this here in the United States if other countries try to sue the U.S. But saying that to, you know, someone who lost their husband or their wife when the Twin Towers fell is not going to be, I think that that's why we don't actually hear them making this public case. A lot of people are quietly, some people are quietly opposed, but they're not coming out and saying that.
Rachel, I have to ask you one other question. There's this sense among some people that basically Washington is protecting its ally, Saudi Arabia, that notwithstanding all the arguments about international law and protecting America from lawsuits, that at the end of the day, this comes down to an oil-rich ally. Is there a lot of talk about that in Washington right now?
You know, a lot of people who support the bill here in D.C. are not happy that they see, you know, Saudi Arabia has been lobbying very strongly against this, especially since the Senate passed it. And yeah, there's definitely that feeling that it is protecting an oil-rich ally, which I was talking to one of our White House reporters about this the other day, and she said, you know, it's interesting because it's going to come down to Obama vetoing this bill. And Obama, it's pretty clear he's not in love with the Saudis himself. So he's going to be the one who has to say no to this. And right now, if he does, which we think he will, definitely that perception is going to keep going, and it's not a good one.
Rachel Bade, reporter for Politico, covering this story from her offices in Capitol Hill. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.